بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the Quran is replete with verses, the hadith and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is replete with ahadith that encourage us, exhort us, and in fact instruct us to develop ihsan. What is ihsan? Ihsan is a very broad term. Ihsan carries a very broad and deep meaning. Ihsan could be translated as ikhlas, having sincerity. Ihsan also means being kind towards others. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Showing compassion, kindness towards others. Ihsan, for the purpose of today's talk and the context of today's talk, will translate ihsan as excellence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us time and again in the Quran to develop excellence, and in all we should be motivated to exercise excellence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you that you should exercise justice and you should exercise ihsan. You should exercise excellence in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Allah has brought life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to experience death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought humankind into existence. Why? So that you may exercise ihsan in your deeds. Ihsan in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excellence in every act that you perform. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us with regards to salah. صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ يُصَلِّي Offer your salah the way you have seen me offer my salah. That is the standard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the standard as far as salah is concerned. Which means that everything else, every other ibadah, the standard should be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means in every ibadah, it's an ongoing process. We will never arrive and will never reach that level of ihsan the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had exercised ihsan in his worship and so on and so forth. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set the standard. That is your standard in as far as excellence is concerned when it comes to your ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not confined the concept of ihsan to our spiritual obligations towards Allah alone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that ihsan, excellence, must be exercised in your relationships as well. For example, when it comes to your parent, and obviously your parent enjoys the greatest and the best form of relationship after the relationship you enjoy with Allah. The relationship you enjoy with Allah pre-exists every other relationship. So that relationship obviously reigns supreme and it enjoys superiority and preference over every other relationship. But the relationship that you enjoy that is next in line after your relationship with Allah is your relationship with your parents. And that's why there as well Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا We have instructed insan that he should exercise ihsan in his relationship with his parents. Then when it comes to your relationship with your community members, your relationship with your neighbors and so on and so forth, there too our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us that there in that relationship as well we must exercise ihsan. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about the neighbor, when someone asked him, O Nabi of Allah, how do I know that I am exercising ihsan, excellence, in my relationship with my neighbors? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, let them be the judge, let they decide. You don't decide whether you are exercising ihsan or not. إِذَا سَمِعْتَ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ أَنَّكَ أَحْسَنْتَ فَقَدْ أَحْسَنْتَ If they pass judgment and they declare that you are exercising ihsan, excellence in your relationship with them, then you are one who is exercising ihsan. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that ihsan and exercising ihsan, excellence, is also not confined only to the relationship you have with humans and your interaction with humans, but it goes beyond that. Even when it comes to the treatment of animals, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and has ordained that you will exercise ihsan, excellence, over everything. Even when it comes to the treatment of the qurbani animal, there too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to exercise ihsan. So the whole purpose and objective of our existence in this world is firstly to obey Allah, but to do it with ihsan, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with excellence. And there's no better time for us to acquire or for us to learn about ihsan and how to exercise ihsan, the steps that we need to follow in order to develop ihsan, than the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan gives us the opportunity to identify and to realize and to understand who we really are. If you really want to know who you are, then look and observe and study yourself, your spiritual self, your character, your emotional state, your psychological state. Study all of that during the month of Ramadan. Because in the month of Ramadan, there are no satanic influences. There are no satanic influences. Ramadan is who you are. So no better time than the month of Ramadan for us to learn the processes, the procedures, and the steps that we need to abide by in order for us to develop ihsan and then obviously exercise ihsan. Number one, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spiritual obligations towards Allah, and then all the different relationships that we enjoy with the people that we interact with. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a separate hadith, he has provided us with a four-step strategy that we can apply in order for us to develop this quality of ihsan, this quality of excellence. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, "Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa habbu ila Allah ta'ala min al-mu'min al-da'if." The opening statement, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he categorized the believers into two categories. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you have al-mu'minu al-qawi, the believer who is strong. And here when we refer to strength, we are speaking of all kinds of strength. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the strong believer is better than the weak believer. The strong believer is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weak believer. Here when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, strength, he's referring to different types of strength. Of course, priority is your spiritual strength, the strength in your relationship with Allah. And today we will focus on that strength, given the fact that the month of Ramadan is a month wherein we are developing that strength. And we want to enhance that strength, the relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. But it also refers to other strengths, the economic strength. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged one to be economically strong. The believer who is economically strong is more productive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves productivity. And then there is the physical strength. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to be physically strong as well. There are so many incidents from the life and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where we find that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely powerful and he was strong. I'll share with you one incident this afternoon. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a giant. Not only a giant in his relationship with Allah, not only a giant in his wara', in his piety and his taqwa, and he was not only a giant in his deep understanding of deen, but he was physically strong, he was really tall, he was mighty, he was powerful, he was a giant. And he was known to be a giant, Umar ibn Khattab. And to understand how huge and how large he was and how strong he was, on one occasion during his khilafah, he received some cloth. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he distributed the cloth amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. Each Sahabi received one piece of cloth that they used as a garment to cover their body. The day of Jumu'ah, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is delivering the khutbah and he is attired in two pieces of cloth. So a Sahabi objects, "O Umar, you have not exercised justice. You are unfair. Each one of us received one piece of cloth, and you are wearing two pieces of cloth." Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu does not respond. He asks his son Abdullah to respond on his behalf. Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that my father is so huge, the one piece of cloth that he received was not enough for him to cover himself adequately, so the second piece of cloth is my cloth. That's just an understanding to know how huge Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. Umar embraces Islam. Oh no, he has not yet embraced Islam. He wants to embrace Islam. He goes to Dar Arqam after the famous incident wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart and inspired him to take the shahada. He goes to Dar Arqam to meet the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dar Arqam is where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would meet secretly with the Sahaba, where he would teach them and There are sessions that they would have over there. He knocks at the door. The doorkeeper realizes it's Umar. He does not know that Umar radiallahu ta'ala who wishes to embrace Islam. So what does he do? He flees and he runs away from the door and he runs immediately and reports to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar is at the door, O Nabi of Allah. The first one to stand up, they do not know what are the intentions of Umar. The first one to stand up who says, I will face Umar, is Hamza. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, O Nabi of Allah, I will face Umar. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Hamza, sit down. You do not go, I will go. When our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opens the door, he grabs Umar by the collar, Umar the giant. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabs Umar by the collar, he lifts him off the ground and he drops him to his knees. The physical strength of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah, today there is that awareness. Everyone is working out, everyone is training, everyone wants to be physically strong. There is this interest, especially amongst the youngsters, and people want to develop themselves physically, that's good. But it must be done in the right environment. How often people are concerned about developing themselves physically, but the activity, the recreational activity, the working out, the training, and it's all happening in an environment that is destroying ourselves spiritually. So let us ensure that when we are developing ourselves physically, the environment is not one of immorality. The environment is not one of immodesty. Very often insistence in working out and training in that type of environment is destroying one's relationship with Allah. And very often insistence is even destroying relationship between spouses. So the physical strength. Our topic this afternoon is developing ihsan. How do we develop ihsan, excellence, in our relationship with Allah, in our relationship with people whom we have in our lives? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us a strategy to acquire that in a separate hadith, of course. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minul qawi, the strong believer, khayrun, is better in the sight of Allah, more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not stop there. He has categorized the believers into two categories. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيْرٍ. If our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to stop at that point, the weak believer will become despondent. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared that I am weak, and the one who is more stronger than me, the one who has a better relationship with Allah than me, he is better than me. And Allah loves him more than he loves me. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not stop at that point. What does he say? وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيْرٍ. But there's khair, there's good, there's potential, there's worth, there's value in every single believer. Regardless of the level of iman that you have within you, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you have khair within you, you have good within you. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes this statement for two reasons. Number one, to encourage the weak believer. We all are weak, we all have weaknesses. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want you to focus on the weakness that lies within you, but rather focus on the element that Allah has placed within you in order for you to eradicate the weakness and to develop a strength, which is iman. وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيْرٍ. Every mu'min has khair within him. So that is the first reason. To encourage the weak believer that Allah has placed within you the potential to become a qawi believer, to become a strong believer. Secondly, Rasulullah ﷺ makes the statement, why? To discourage the strong believer from developing a sense of superiority over the weak believer. Because our Rasulullah ﷺ says the strong believer is better than the weak believer. That statement should not create within the strong believer a sense of superiority over the weak believer. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us how to eradicate the weakness that lies within us. The month of Ramadan, as we said, is the perfect time for you to identify the weakness. And that's the first thing you need to do. Ramadan, mashallah, it's got to do with fasting, and there's great reward in the fasting that we observe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. And the Taraweeh Salah and the Quran that we recite, we should be concerned of that, and we should be looking at increasing that, especially as we head into the best part of the best month of the year. But look at Ramadan as a boot camp, as a development program, as a process of upskilling and developing yourself. So that it doesn't end with the month of Ramadan. There are certain things that you develop within you, certain areas that you focus on. In order for you to develop yourself eradicating the weakness and allowing that to transcend throughout the year. So the first thing you do, if you're going for an upskilling development program, or you are enrolling in a boot camp, personal development, whatever it may be, the first thing you do is you identify the weakness. That this is the weakness that lies within me. I've enrolled in this program to eradicate the weakness or to convert that weakness into a strength. So the first thing I need to do, especially as I'm entering the last phase of the month of Ramadan and the finish line is almost in sight, the first thing I need to do is identify the weakness that lies within me. Rasulullah says, "Kullu bani Adam khattaa." Every child of Adam is filled with weaknesses. Every child of Adam is filled with weaknesses. Identify the weakness. What is that weakness that lies within me? That weakness that I do not want to live with after the month of Ramadan, that I would like to eradicate. During the month of Ramadan, there is no better time. If I cannot do it in the month of Ramadan, it's very, very difficult. Not impossible, but it's very difficult to do it outside of the month of Ramadan. Outside of the month of Ramadan, it may require a death in the home. Loss of life, and that might maybe, you know, just make me realize and wake me up from the wrongs that I'm involved in and the vice that I am so much engrossed in. It might take or require a hajj that I undertake for it to bring about that realization in my life. But the best time for me to identify the weakness that lies within me and to help me find the mechanism, you might not eradicate it, during the month of Ramadan, but at least identify the mechanism that's going to help me eradicate the weakness, so I've identified it. It could be an addiction that I have. It could be a habit that I have developed. The weakness could be an emotional weakness, such as anger, envy, jealousy, suspicion, ujb, self-admiration. These are some of the weaknesses that I may be suffering from. I need to first put my finger on the weakness and identify the weakness. My weakness could be the inability to control my tongue, my inability to control my utterances, what I say, how I say it, how I speak to others, what I post on social media, what I broadcast, what I forward, what I tweet, what I retweet. Maybe that is my weakness, my inability to control the language that I use and to control my fingers when I am using social media. With regards to this weakness, there is an incident that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she once said something to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Safiya. Safiya was her co-wife, and naturally there existed this rivalry amongst co-wives. And on one occasion she said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Safiya, "Hasbuki, hasbuka min Safiya, innaha kada wa kada." "O Nabi of Allah, what do you see in Safiya? She is so short." Which was a fact. It wasn't an accusation. It wasn't an unfounded, unestablished piece of information that she was sharing. It was a fact. Safiya really was short. It was a fact. It's not what she said, it's how she said it. That's all she said. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, "لَقَدْ كُلْتِ كَلِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ." "Oh Aisha, you have said one word. If that word is taken and it's cast into the ocean, the entire ocean will turn bitter." One word. We are accumulating so many good deeds. Allahu Akbar. May Allah give us the ability to accumulate even more. But if I'm not mistaken, Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah says, he says, doing the deed is not so difficult. Preserving it is far more difficult. One is accumulating it. One is doing it. But what's more difficult than that is preserving it, looking after it, protecting it. And the best way to do so is by looking after our tongue. During Hajj, in the year 1444, Allah gave us the ability to meet one of the greatest scholars from the Arab world, not known to us of the English world. And we had the opportunity to meet with him. Alhamdulillah, it was just a few moments. And we introduced ourselves to him. And he asked us where we're from. And we said we're from Medina to Durban. He said, "MashaAllah, Medina to Durban. Medina Sheikh Didat. Ah, the city of Sheikh Didat." Travel around the world, even the remotest of areas in the Muslim world. South Africa is famous for two things. They'll tell you He's from South Africa, Nelson Mandela. Number two, Sheikh Ahmed Didat. And now there's one more thing, taking the Israelis to the ICJ. So he asked, we thought this was an opportunity, we probably won't meet the Sheikh again ever. And we said, ya Sheikh, كيف يحصل الإنسان على الحج المبرور. Everyone wants Hajj Mabrur. Everyone. You even make the dua. May Allah allow our Hujjaj who have been accredited to undertake the journey of Hajj with ease and with comfort. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Hajj Mabrur. So every Haji wants Hajj Mabrur. And we asked him, ya Sheikh, how do you acquire Hajj Mabrur? Subhanallah. He said two words. He pointed to his tongue. He says, حب اللسان. Look after your tongue. The reward is confirmed. When you make iftar, at the time of iftar, what is the dua that you make? ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر inshallah. The ajr is confirmed. You got the reward for the fast. But the challenge after that is preservation of the deed, looking after it. And the vice or the weakness. We're speaking of weakness and eradication of weaknesses. The weakness that has the potential of destroying your entire month of Ramadan is the tongue. The misuse of the tongue. And then obviously you have the digital tongue. One post that I forward, one broadcast that I shared with others, had nothing to do with me, but somebody's reputation was tainted. There is a Tabi'i by the name of Sa'id bin Jubair, under the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Allah says, every insan, we have fastened your record to your neck. What does that mean? Your record never leaves you. It's never going to leave you. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ. Subhanallah. Allah says, whatever sound comes out of the mouth. Allah did not say, مَا يَقُولُ مِنْ قَوْلِ ما يتكلم من كلام ما يتحدث من حديث ما يلفظ. The ulama say lafz. Lafz in Arabic refers to the sound that comes out of the mouth. And that's why Allah says وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not even blow hot air out of frustration towards your parents. That hot air out of frustration, don't even do that. You didn't say anything, you just blew out hot air out of frustration. Allah says don't even do that, because that is also recorded. Allah says مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ ما يلفظ من قول. Whatever sound comes out of your mouth is recorded by the angels. And Allah says it remains with you. ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا. On the day of Qiyamah, that book will be presented to you and it will be opened before you. Sa'id bin Jubair rahimahullah says, a person will come on the day of Qiyamah. فيدفع له كتابه. His book of records will be given to him. فلا يرى فيه صلاته ولا صيامه ولا يرى أعماله الصالحة. He will turn to the chapter of salah, he'll find it blank. Allahu Akbar. He offered every salah in the masjid. He remained in the masjid and offered his ishraq salah in the masjid. He offered his charged salah, his salatul duha. He offered salatul awabid. He offered salatul tahajjud. He was punctual with salatul tasbih. He'll find that entire chapter on salah to be blank. Nothing. And then he'll turn to the next chapter and he'll turn to his siyam. He fasted in the month of Ramadan. He observed punctually, consistently. He observed the fasts of Shawwal. He observed the Monday and the Thursday fast. Subhanallah, but he'll find that entire chapter to be blank. And then he'll turn to sadaqah, it's blank. He'll turn to umrah, it's blank. He'll turn to hajj, it's blank. Nothing. And he'll object and he'll say, Ya Rabb, hadha kitabu ghayri. Oh Allah, this is not my book. Definitely not my book. There's a mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond and say, Inna rabbaka la yadillu wa la yansa. Your Rabb never makes an error, your Rabb never forgets. Dhahaba amaluka bighiyabika an-nas. The ghiba, the misuse of the tongue, is what cleared out all your good deeds. We are collecting so many, accumulating so many good deeds during the month of Ramadan. May Allah give us the ability to do even more. But perhaps the weakness that lies within me is my inability to control my utterances, my inability to control what I post on social media, what I share on social media, what I say to others, how I say it, even if it's a fact, but how I say it, the tone with which I said it. So number one, identify the weakness. We're speaking of developing ihsan during the month of Ramadan. Identify the weakness. Number two, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكْ. Once you've identified the weakness, now actively pursue the source of benefit. Now look for the source of benefit. What is the source of benefit? What's going to help me eradicate the weakness that lies within me? I know what works for me. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not confine it to one area of activity. Perhaps it's going out in the path of Allah. Perhaps it's observing i'tikaf in the masjid. Perhaps it is putting my hand in the hand of a pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and allowing him to guide me. Perhaps it's attending a circle of knowledge. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know what works for you. What works for you may not work for somebody else. What works for somebody else may not work for you. But actively pursue the source of benefit. You know what works for you. What's going to help you eradicate that weakness. Move in that direction. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. That's step number two. Identify the weakness. Then move towards the source of benefit that's going to help you eradicate the weakness. You can't just sit and do nothing about it. Number three, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wasta'in billah. Wasta'in billah. Do not rely on your own religiosity. Do not rely on your own level of piety. Do not rely on your knowledge. Do not rely on your strength. Ask Allah to help you. Will Allah not grant you something that Allah would like you to achieve and acquire? Ask Allah to help you. Get Allah on your side. Once you've identified the weakness and then identified the sort of source of benefit. And lastly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Don't give up. Whatever it is, don't give up. After the month of Ramadan, you'll be tempted again to go and work out and to train in that environment that is surrounded by immorality and immodesty. You'll be tempted to do so. You'll be tempted to abandon the masjid. You'll be tempted to abandon the Quran. You'll be tempted to go back to that addiction. You'll be tempted to go back to that temptation. You'll be tempted to go back to that circle of friends and company that remind you of everything else but Allah. There will be that temptation. Wala ta'jaz. Don't give up. You'll slip, you fall. Ista'in billah. Turn to Allah. Make dua. Find the source of benefit and move in that direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.